Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis, the 49th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. Read these verses responsively, and then we'll turn to yet another verse, which we'll read in unison. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of this passage. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it, he went up to my couch. Psalm 112, 112th Psalm, page 655 in your Scofield Bible, and the 7th verse of the 112th Psalm we'll read together. Psalm 112, verse 7. Okay, let's read it, please. Ready? He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And let's pray. Father, bless now this hour, this time that we have for the hearing of thy word. There's nothing in the world more important going on just now than those who hear thy word. We're privileged to hear it here in this place from our preacher. Help us to take so very seriously the time to spend it well that we might gain and benefit from having been here. Of course, that will take concentration upon that which is said, and may our hearts and our minds be given over to the hearing and the doing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight on the sin of instability. Not a spectacular title, but I believe probably one of the most damaging sins in all of the human race. I'm going to read, you don't need to turn to it again, but I want to read to you what was said about a man in the Bible. I'm not sure any finer thing was ever said, or any list was ever any more impressive in describing him. Listen, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. I don't know if anything, any list of commendations are ever given in the Bible that exceed those. This father said to his son, You're my might. You're the beginning of my strength. You're the excellency of dignity. You're the excellency of power. And that's followed by this statement. But unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Our Heavenly Father, once again we are here with the Bible and truths therefrom. Same preacher, same people, same book, with a new part of it that draws our attention. Bless, I pray, Spirit of the living God, our moments together, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you tonight what causes more people to fail than anything in the world, and maybe what causes more people to fail than all other things combined. Jacob was dying. His had been a long, interesting life. sort of a roller coaster kind of a life. Jacob's heights had probably been higher than anybody in the Old Testament. And his depths were probably lower than anybody in the Old Testament. Jacob was probably the best man in the Old Testament in some ways, and probably the worst man among all the saved people in the Old Testament in other ways. Now he's dying. He calls his sons to his bedside. He starts with Reuben. He delivers a message from his deathbed to each of his sons. To Reuben, he says something like this: Reuben, you're my strongest boy. Reuben, you're my most thoughtful boy. Reuben, you're my most talented boy. Reuben, you're my most gifted boy. Reuben, you're my smartest boy. Reuben, you're my most intellectual boy. Reuben, you're my most proper boy. Reuben, you're my most mannerly boy. Reuben, you're the best leader among all of my sons. Reuben, you're the most attractive boy. Reuben, you're the most personable boy. Let me tell you what kind of fellow he was. If he had gone to Hammond Baptist High School, he had been elected Mr. HBHS. Hands down. No doubt about it. If he had gone to Hiles Anderson College, he had been elected Mr. Highlander. No doubt about it. He had it all. Everything that you'd want in a boy. Except, and by the way, I'm not sure that a better description is given about anybody else in the entire Bible than was given by Jacob about his son Reuben. Yet, Reuben, you will never reach your potential because you're unstable as water. As I look out tonight over this sea of faces, the most talented, friendly, gifted, personable, attractive people in this room will not be the most successful people in this room. Because it is so difficult to attach the quality of stability to that of attractiveness and talent and genius. Reuben had it all. He's the kind of fellow who could have been the outstanding student in the school, but probably got expelled because he didn't clean his room. He was a fellow that probably was the object of more covetousness on the part of the opposite sex if he had been in a college. But probably could have been the valedictorian or salutatorian of the senior class, but didn't make it through school because he dropped too many courses, or because he didn't sign out properly, or because he was late to class, or because he had too many cuts. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to make this statement later on. I had planned to say it in the close of the sermon, but I want to say it now. Stability without anything else can have some success. Stability without anything else can have some success. All else without stability will fail. If I had to choose tonight, if I were a young man, if I had to choose, young lady, I have to choose between talent, genius, attractiveness, friendliness, personality, brilliance, intellectualism, all in one package. And on one side, a package without any of those qualities, but with stability. I choose stability alone, then all the rest without stability. Reuben never reached his potential because he was unstable as water. When the tide of sorrow rises higher, he goes to pieces. When the dark waters overflow in life, he loses control. When the storms of bad news billow over his path, he wavers. When the tempest of testing comes, he is unsure. When the battle comes, blown he is as other waves by the wind. When the tides of cloudy tidings loom overhead, his mast is torn. Rumblings of recession roar, and he is ravished. The deep depicts a depression, and panic grips his soul. When venomous, vicious, vindictive words are vociferously voiced about him, he becomes a victim of their vice. Like water above, foul winds move him. And like water beneath, foul winds disturb him. He has it all, but stability. He has it all, but predictability. He has ability, but not stability. He has ability, but not availability. He has ability, but not predictability. He has it all. He's the guy that would be the object of the girl's desire for dating. Or she's the young lady all the boys want to go with. But ladies and gentlemen, I do not care who you are. How much time? Listen. In every area of life, there are rising stars who fall like falling meteors because they had the ability but not the stickability. There are folks right now not listening to the word I'm saying, piddling around, not listening to the word I'm saying. Haven't got enough character to listen. You're too shiftless to listen. You're too unstable to listen. You got something else on your mind. You got a pretty nice looking face. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother, that pretty face will sure look ugly over a table of failure. You got strength of body, talent. You're gifted, personality. Now you listen to me. Set it all and get stability. Put it all in a package and get stability. Jacob said to Reuben, son, the excellency of my dignity are you. The excellency of my power are you. The strength of my life are you. But you will not excel. What he's saying was, you're going to end up as the last of the boys because you're unstable as water. Give me the weaker one with less talent and less intellect and less ability and less personality, whose anchor holds when his vessel is attacked by watery winds and windy waters. You give me the lesser attractive young lady or young man whose soul is concerned but not destroyed by evil tidings. You give me that person
whose work is done midst the storm that idles others. You give me that person who is not rattled by the morning paper because he has already read his morning Bible. You give me that person who feels the wound of pain, but it leaves not a scar of panic. You give me that person who knows trembling, but no whining. That person who's not as talented as Reuben, who's not as gifted as Reuben, who's not as personable as Reuben, who's not as attractive as Reuben, who's not as intellectual as Reuben. But you give me that one whom, when his bosom heaves midst the storm, his will is not broken. You give me that one when the winds of disappointments cause his soulless ship to tremble, but it doesn't sink. You give me that one when the storms take him off calm, but they don't ever take him off course. He will fold his arms for a moment, but quickly take hold of the wheel again. When the mountains are moved and cast into the sea, he will not detour to watch them fall. He will stay where he is and do his duty in the midst of the clash. You give me that one who's not as talented, whose personality is not as winsome, but that one who sticks, that one who stands, that one who says, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not move. He doesn't change his doctrine every time a new preacher comes to town. He doesn't change his convictions every time a new Bible teacher comes on the scene. He doesn't change what he believes. He may be a bit stubborn, but brother, he's what he was yesterday. And tomorrow, he'll be what he was today. And you can set your clock by him, and you can know how he stands, and you won't have to call him up and say, how do you feel now about something? I mean, brother, his foundation is set, and he says, my heart is fixed, and I shall not be moved. And I'm talking tonight to hundreds of people in this room who are going to fall flat on your face because you're too pretty. You're going to fall flat on your face because you're too talented. You're going to fall flat on your face because you're too gifted. You're going to fall flat on your face because you're too brilliant. You're going to fall flat on your face because you're too intellectual and because you have not attached to those things that God has given you that could be assets, the most important asset, and that is decency and character and honor and principle and stability. Death message may come, and his heart is smitten but not stricken. He is assaulted by panic-stricken rumor, yet he fights on. He is undercut by the undercurrent of unemployment, but he is unwavering in his undying faith in the understanding and undertaking God. Tidings of disease come but bring him no defeat. Tidings of defeat come, but bring him no depression. Tidings of death come, but bring him no doubt. Tidings of difficulty come, but bring him no despair. Tidings of delay come, but they bring him no discouragement. Why? His heart is fixed. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. His foundation stands. His anchor holds. He's not like Reuben, unstable as water. I'm talking to young folks tonight in this room, and this is not a college sermon. But I'm talking to young folks tonight in this room in Howells Anderson College that'll never amount to that much. And the truth is, you're probably one of the outstanding potential successes on campus. But you'll never amount to a thing. Why? Because you don't get to class on time. And because you don't get in bed on time. And because you don't clean your room right. And because you don't sign out, you're supposed to sign out. And you're too smart for that. You're above that. You're above the rules. You know more. And by the way, you may have a better mind than we do, but brother, you don't have better character than we do. And you decide what the rules ought to be. You listen to me. There are young folks in this room tonight who are going to fail miserably, who have far more potential than others. Why? Because they do not have the old-fashioned doctrine or the old-fashioned attribute of stability. Like Obadiah of old, when he heard the evil tidings of Edom, he replied with these words, "We have already heard tidings from the Lord." They came with bad tidings about Edom. But Obadiah said, "I've already heard tidings from the Lord." Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, when evil tidings come, you find God's tidings. When tidings come of recession, you find God's tidings of "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When the evil tidings come of depression, you read God's tidings that have already come. "Of my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." When tidings come of death, you read the tidings that came from God. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" When tidings come of disease, you realize and read the tidings that have already come. "He healeth all thy diseases." When evil tidings come of betrayal, you read God's tidings. "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." When evil tidings come of loneliness, you read God's tidings. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When evil tidings come of danger, you read God's tidings already given. "He shall give His angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways." When you hear evil tidings of weariness, you read God's tidings. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When evil tidings come of disappointments, you read the good tidings that have already come from the Lord. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." When the evil tidings come of decisions, you read the good tidings. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." When evil tidings come concerning suffering, you read the good tidings, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." When you have evil tidings coming concerning trouble, you read God's tidings that say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." When the evil tidings come of temptation, you just look at God's tidings, good tidings. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." I said, God is faithful. I said, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, and will the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When the evil tidings come of need, you realize or read the good tidings that already have come. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When the tidings come of evil concerning attack, you read God's tidings. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." When the evil tidings come of insignificance, you read God's tidings. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" When the evil tidings come of discouragement, you read God's tidings. "And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Ladies and gentlemen, we're reading too much newspaper and not enough Bible. We're watching too much television and not enough Bible. We're reading too many magazines and not enough Bible. We're looking down too much instead of up enough. When the evil tidings come concerning confusion, you read the good tidings, call on me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. When the evil tidings come concerning battles, you read God's tidings. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we got our eyes off Nicaragua and our eyes upon Jesus. It's time we got our attitude in life and our disposition in life, not from the Middle East, but from the heavenly city. It's time that we got our joy and our peace and our satisfaction and our happiness, not from the evil tidings of a sin-cursed world, a Christ-denying, God-defying, God-hating, heaven-disbelieving, hell-bound, hell-bent world. It's time that God's people got their tidings from God. Oh, I hear the good tidings of Bethlehem. I hear the good tidings of shepherds watching their flocks by night and hearing the choir of angels as they came to sing the first Noel. I hear the good tidings of wise men coming to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I hear the good tidings of a Christ who lived a sinless, perfect life. I hear the tidings of a Christ who after 33 years here on earth, he went to Pilate's hall after having been to the high priest and to Pilate, on to Herod and back to Pilate. I hear the good tidings of Christ who took upon himself my sin and your sin and went to Calvary, and Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. I hear tonight the good. Listen, you're watching Love Boat too much. You're watching Dallas too much. You're watching sex too much. You're watching filth too much. You're reading garbage too much. You're reading magazines like Cosmopolitan and Ladies' Home Journal and even the news magazines. You're reading Associated Press too much and United Press too much and CBS too much and NBC too much Columbia, CBS, NBC, and what's the other one? ABC. Too much! Listen, I've got some good tidings from the Lord. I hear good tidings tonight from Calvary. I hear good tidings tonight that they took his body and laid it in Joseph's tomb. I hear good tidings that the tomb could not hold him. Death could not defeat him. The grave could not conquer him. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor in the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. I hear good tidings tonight. Get your eyes in the book. It's full of good tidings for you tonight. I hear good tidings about the ascended Savior. I went out to Olive's Mount, extended his hands heavenward, and went back to the Father. I hear good tidings that at any moment the trumpet shall sound, and the archangel shall make his shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet our Lord in the air. I hear good tidings about a judgment seat. I hear good tidings about a marriage of the Lamb. I hear good tidings about a horseback riding party. We come back, saddle on white horses to establish a kingdom. I hear good tidings about a kingdom when Jesus shall reign, where the Son does his successive journeys run. I hear good tidings. Poor Reuben. Poor Reuben. Think of what he could have done. Think of what he could have done. May I have your attention, please? Think of what he could have done. Lesser men than he built an ark. Lesser men than he crossed the Red Sea. Lesser men than he caused the sun to stand still. Lesser men than he defeated mighty armies. Lesser men than he sat on the throne of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Lesser men than he conquered enemies. Lesser men than he held great offices in the kingdom. Poor Reuben. Think what he could have done. Yet one thing held him back. Just like it's holding you back.
unstable as water. Unstable. I've been around a while. I pastored when I was in college. I pastored a church about 10 miles or so from my college, and more students came from the college where I was attending at the time to our little country church, and I pastored more students than any other pastor in town did, even the downtown churches. I've watched a lot of young people come and go. And I've watched a lot of young people rise and fall. And the reason 99% of them do it, they never develop stability. Poor Reuben. Hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. Poor Reuben. Excellency of his father's dignity. The excellency of his father's strength. The beginning of his father's strength. What a man. What talent. What propriety. What charm. What attractiveness. What ability. What gifts. But he was unstable as water. He did not fail because he could not lead. He did not fail because he could not teach. He did not fail because he could not sparkle. He did not fail because he could not learn. He did not fail because he could not turn on the personality. He failed because the reason that some of you kids are sitting right here tonight and not hearing a word I'm saying. And some of you folks think you're not, you think you're getting by sitting back in the corners, not listening. You're not hurting me one tenth as much as you're hurting yourself. Because you are unstable. You Hiles Anderson students, pardon the word, idiots, that call other Hiles Anderson folks hackers. You're not going to amount to much. No. And you kids that have all your tuition paid and look down your nose at those that scrub the floor on which you walk and clean the tables on which you eat and look down your nose as if they were some kind of an inferior student or something, you're not going very far. You're not going very far. You Hiles Anderson College, you Hammond Baptist High School students who make fun of the college that has the courage enough to have some old-fashioned standard. You're not going to go very far. Weak as water. Unstable as water. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Poor Reuben. I want to remind you something. It's worse tonight for you to be unstable. Many times worse than it was for Reuben. Hear me now. Hear me. Reuben had no Romans 8:28 to read. Reuben had no John 14:1-3 to read. Reuben had no 37th Psalm to read. Reuben had no Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. He had no Philippians 4:13 to read. Reuben had no 23rd Psalm to read. He had no 91st Psalm to read. He had no Proverbs 3:5-6 to read. He had no John 15:7 to read. He had no Philippians 4:19 to read. In fact, he had no Bible. Did you hear me? He had no Bible. He didn't take his Bible to church. He had no Bible. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. Some of you little rock music listening punks, you listen to me. Some of you little kids that like to sneak out of church and or get as far back as you can, you like to hide behind the K-beam somewhere. Why don't you just, for about 2 minutes, listen to part of the sermon. It might do you some good. You're not going to make it. No, you're not going to make it. I don't agree with you. More folks than you have tried to make it without stability, and nobody ever does. You're not going to make it. You see, you're supposed to listen when you come to church because it's decent. Be respectful for the fellow speaking. That's why you're supposed to listen. But you don't have decency. You won't make it. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'd like to see you make it, but you won't make it. And by the way, you're not listening to a dummy tonight.
Well, I didn't get many amens on that one. But you're not listening to a dummy. You folks that didn't say amen, you ain't listening to no dummy either. And you're not listening to a kid either. You're listening to probably, him and Al, you're probably listening to the pastor tonight who's preached more sermons than any living pastor. Maybe. And you're probably listening to the pastor tonight who's pastored more young people than any man alive. And I know what I'm talking about. Just because you can bounce a round ball between your legs and behind your back and throw it through a hoop down at the end of the court doesn't mean you're going to be a success. And just because you can kill a pig and blow it back up, make it spiral when you throw it, or kick it through some plumbing down at the end of the field, that's not going to make you a success. And just because you happen to have your nose in the right spot, brother, but for the grace of God, your nose could be on the side of your head, your ear could be in the middle of it. And I will tell you something, brother. A guy's got his ear in the middle of his face and his nose on the side of it is prettier to me if he'll work and is predictable and dependable. And one of these pretty boys always bumping to the telephone pole because he's watching himself in the storefront. Brother, when God sees beauty, it's not the size of the chest. And when God sees beauty, it's not the color of the eyes, or whether they're looking the same way toward each other, or opposite directions. When God sees beauty, He sees a guy that's stable. Stable. He stays right there. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. Poor Reuben, he had no indwelling Holy Spirit. It's far worse for you not to be stable. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. He didn't. You have a Bible beside your night or in your hand. He had no Bible. He had no pastor to preach three times a week for him to straighten up. He never heard a sermon like this. Did you hear me? He never heard this. It's worse for you. You think if he didn't excel because he was unstable as water, brother, you talk about a flop. You're going to make a record in flop because if you are unstable as water now, with the Holy Spirit living in here and the Word of God in front of you and a preacher standing up here reminding you every three times a week, you're in for a tremendous splash. He had no chapel in a Christian school. He had no written promises in a book. Think how much more stable we should be. We have a Bible. He didn't. We look back to a virgin-born Savior. He didn't. We look back to a sinless life of our Redeemer. He didn't. We look back to the old rugged cross. He didn't. We look back to the resurrection of our Lord. He didn't. We look back to His ascension into heaven. He didn't. We look for His coming in the clouds. He didn't. Which means it's 10 times worse for you to be unstable. In closing, how can you be stable? Number one, live by schedule. Live by schedule. You know the average young man comes down and surrenders to preach. What he comes down to do? He comes surrender. He doesn't surrender to preach. He surrenders to holler. That's what he does. He'd like to get up 3 times a week and tell a bunch of folks off, too. I want to say this. Now, you have no comprehension, and you won't believe it by hearing me, but you have no comprehension how hard I worked on just this one sermon tonight. I worked more on one of these little sentences I read a while ago than some of you rascals do on a whole series of sermons. You came to surrender to holler. But though I know I spend 30 hours a week doing nothing but studying, I'll guarantee you what I'm doing right now is not really what success is all about. It's what time I get up and what time I go to bed
and how I schedule myself between the two. Schedule! I've said this many times. I have no boss. I have nobody in the morning to get on me if I'm late. I have nobody to check on me about my work. The last time I checked, 507 people are employed here. In some of our ministries, part-time or full-time, 507 folks get some kind of check sometime during the month from us. 506 of them are going to hear it from me if they don't do their work. I don't have anybody like that. So I made me a boss. I call him my schedule. And I obey him. I do what he says. Live by schedule. Number two, how to be stable? Enjoy your work more than you enjoy your play. Boy, that's a good statement. Enjoy your work more than you enjoy your play. And last, live by principles. Let your principles make your decisions. Whatever you do, you get stability. With all thy getting, get stability. I can show you preachers across this country. Every time I see them, I wonder what their hobby is now, or what doctrine they've changed according to what series of books or magazines they've read recently. I double dog dare you to check my preaching 25 years ago and compare what I believe now to then. And I don't change my convictions according to the styles of the day. What I believe about men's hair 25 years ago, I believe it now. What I believed about women's dress 25 years ago, I believe it now. 25 years ago, I thought a woman ought to wear a decent length skirt and leave the pants on the men. I believe it now. And I'll believe it next time, you hear me? And when you come by and look in the grave, my body in the grave, look carefully. I'll have a note I wrote you. I still believe what I always believe. Notice Timothy said, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Stability, without anything else, can have some success. All else, without stability, will fail. Poor Reuben. Poor Reuben. As Brother Lively said a while ago, he had it all going for him, but he never got it all put together. You know why? Because stability is the martyr that holds all the things together that he had going for him. And because he had no martyr of stability to put between those bricks of talent, personality, attractiveness, intellect, brilliance, he had no martyr of stability, his house crumbled. I say it again. Stability, without anything else, can have some success. Everything else, without stability, will fall. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that somebody will put some martyr between their bricks. I pray that several somebodies will get the idea. I pray we'll hear the psalmist saying, his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. And hear God's man who said, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.